Today is Trinity Sunday, a Sunday to worship God in His majesty. And in many ways today, Trinity Sunday is the culmination of what we have been doing so far this church year. The church year starting way back in Advent when we celebrated God the Father's plan to save us by sending His only begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, into the world. Then we celebrated the birth of Jesus when the eternal Son of the Father came into this world as a baby boy. And after hearing of the incredible things that He did on earth, we mourned at His death and we rejoiced at His resurrection. Then, just last week, we were filled with joy at the gift of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And so the last several months sort of come to their completion today on Trinity Sunday. Today's gospel passage tells us some very interesting things about the Trinity. And it starts off with Jesus saying this to His disciples. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." And taken in isolation, that seems to be simple enough. But as we will see, it is important to take all of Scripture into account when we hear what Jesus has to say. And that's because the Trinity, this Trinity idea, is one of the most important beliefs in all of Christianity, but also one of the most intimidating, frustrating, and misunderstood ones. The very idea of the Trinity is enough to send many Sunday school teachers running for the hills. Ken, is that why you're in the back? And it is enough to make pastors pray to God Almighty that no parishioner is going to come and ask them anything about the Trinity. It just is so hard to understand. And what does that have to do with what Jesus is saying here? Well, as complicated as the Trinity is, today we are going to focus in on one idea of the Trinity, the most important idea about God, and it rests on our understanding of what Jesus says in this verse, when taken in context of the rest of what Jesus has said previously to this. And that's because when Jesus tells the disciples in our passage today that He still has many things to teach them, it would seem to go against what He just said only a few verses earlier in the same gospel. We didn't read it today, but in chapter 15, verse 15 of John, in the same speech that Jesus is making, He tells the disciples that He has made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. And then here in our passage today, He declares that He still has many things to say to you, but that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. So on the one hand, Jesus says that He has revealed everything. But on the other hand, He says that the Spirit will come and make known the many things that Jesus still has that He still desires to tell them. So what gives? Is Jesus contradicting Himself, or is He confused? What's going on? Well, it all comes down to the difference between revelation and the explanation of that revelation. And when we understand that difference, the Trinity starts to make a lot more sense. Jesus is not wrong in the earlier passage when He declares that He has made known to the disciples, and for that matter, the entire world, everything from the Father. Because Jesus Himself is the fullest revelation of God. Because as we celebrated at Christmas, Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. Because He is truly 100% God, that means that He is the very definition of revelation of God. He is the truth. His very existence reveals to us God in all of His being. What follows after that revelation is only an explanation of that revelation. What comes after the revelation of God is not more revelation, because there cannot be more revelation than 100% God, that is Jesus, but rather only explanation. And that explanation is what Jesus is talking about today when He says that the Holy Spirit, which is also 100% God, will come and teach us. And that is what we celebrated last week, the coming of our guide and teacher. And as I said then, the Holy Spirit explains and reminds us of what Jesus has already shown us. This is not some new idea that the Holy Spirit brings to us, because God has already revealed Himself to us in fullness by actually coming to earth and showing Himself to us. As one commentator put it, the Spirit facilitates a fuller understanding of Jesus' revelation without any change to its content. Just as Jesus did, the Spirit reveals God. Now, this may all seem overly complicated and unimportant. I mean, really, other than theologians sitting in their offices reading dusty old books, who cares? Does it matter if the Holy Spirit brings a new revelation or if the Holy Spirit simply reminds us of the same revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, actually, yeah, it really does. Because this is where things get really incredible, really powerful, and honestly really moving for our daily spirituality. Because this is all the same one revelation, simply said in different ways, what we have is a really interesting way of looking at the Trinity, looking at God Himself. See, it's easy for us to kind of segment God using the language of the Trinity, as if Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are different beings. And most people honestly kind of think of it that way. God the Father created stuff, and then He sent the Son, at which point the Father was largely done. Right? Then the Son redeems us, saving us from our sins, but then He went to heaven. And finally, the Holy Spirit comes and sustains our belief. Some pastors have even renamed the Trinity from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. But when we realize that each person within the Trinity is pointing to the same essence of God, when we realize, as Jesus puts it in John, all that the Father has is mine, for this reason I said that the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you, that all of this revelation is the same revelation and it is all pointing to the same God and the same truth, we then see that the persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are not so much doing different things as they are working together to do the same thing. Sure, it is Jesus that dies on the cross. Sure, it is the Holy Spirit that guides us today. But all of that is still pointing to the same revelation of God. The Trinity is working together in community. And this is the radical thing that is often forgotten, but is so important, even in our daily lives. These three persons are not different beings. They are one God working in perfect harmony, in perfect community. And it is that community that is so essential to our own faith. in ways that human beings cannot even begin to imagine. The Trinity is a communal God. He is a communal being. When we think of creation, it is not merely God the Father that creates. The Father creates through the Son and in partnership with the Spirit. It is not just Jesus that redeems. It is He that redeems at the behest of the Father and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it is not just the Spirit that reveals to us truth. It is the Spirit that reveals us the same truth that Jesus revealed. The truth of the Father. The Trinity works together in perfect harmony and perfect relationship. And that is something that moves, that is something that moves this idea beyond the theologian's office into the real world. Because that truth of that communal relationship affects us. Too often, pastors treat the Trinity as if it were a question on a seminary exam, kind of like I was doing earlier. Let's explain metaphysics, they say, or more accurately, pastors pretend that they still understand it well enough to still pass those exams that they only barely passed to begin with. But that's all very cold, boring, and more importantly, not helpful for our belief. The Trinity is not some kind of a litmus test that gets us into heaven where St. Peter at the pearly gates will fail you for not being able to explain perfectly the meaning of the Apostles' Creed. But that doesn't mean that it is irrelevant to our lives. Instead, the Trinity models for us human behavior. Going back to that question of creation itself, many have wondered, why did God create the universe in the first place? Was He lonely, they ask. And the answer is no, of course He was not lonely. God has always existed in this perfect community, the communal Trinity. But the Trinity is so full of love that that love spills out and God desires to be able to share it with something. And so He created us to be in community with Him. As 1 John puts it, God is love. He shows us perfect love, and the Trinity itself is that demonstration. And that has very real and important implications. God created us to be in community with Him, just like the persons of the Trinity are in community. He desires for us to love and be loved by Him in that same impossibly intimate way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit already are. It is at that level that He desires for us to be in relationship with Him. And so this understanding of the Trinity, this realization of the relationship that exists within God, and the recognition that He desires that type of relationship with us, changes how we think about everything, but mainly how we think about worship. Worship is that relationship, our relationship with God coming to life. It is us saying to God, yes, I want to be in that intimate relationship with You. I want that unimaginable, seemingly impossible love that exists within God. Worship is relational. 2 weeks ago was Mother's Day. And 102 people came to church to celebrate their relationships with their mothers. And that is great. We should relish the relationship that we have with our parents. But, and I know I'm going to step on some toes here, last week was Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the day that we celebrate the ongoing relationship that we have with the Trinitarian God through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and 63 people came. Guys, it's time for a come to Jesus moment here. I have had many of you come to me and lament that less people are coming to church nowadays. But look, one week we have 102 people come, and the next we have 63. We can do this. If we want to be in relationship with God, we can do this. Worship is the time that we tell God that we want to be in relationship with Him. It is Mother's Day, but once a week, and for God, the Trinity that has shown us time and time again that He desires for us to worship Him and be in relationship with Him. Now, I get it. I do. People are out of town. Some people work on some Sundays. People get sick, etc. But this is God that we are talking about here. The one that created us and redeemed us and sustains us. This is the Trinitarian God. The one that models perfect relationships for us. The one that shows within Himself the very perfection of love. He is the one telling us that He wants us to be part of that relationship. And our response to that heavenly plea, our response to that desire for relationship is to worship. Worship Him every day of our lives, yes, but primarily worship Him on Sunday mornings, coming into His glory and basking in His heavenly love. It is time for each of us, those that make 52 Sundays out of the year and those that only make once or twice a month, to ask ourselves, are we taking seriously our relationship with God? If the Trinity is the model of a perfect relationship, are we trying to have that type of relationship with the Trinitarian God? Or have we let the world interfere with that relationship? Now is the time. This is the moment for each of us to focus on having a perfect relationship with our perfectly relational God. And now is the moment to reach out to our brothers and sisters and remind them of that same truth, that God is calling each and every one of us to be in relationship with Him, and that call is answered in worship. In the name of that relational God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.